You're going to see the good, the bad, the ugly. And what's amazing is that's one way that we know from historians and theologians that the Bible is actually true, is because it doesn't sugarcoat the stories. In most ancient forms of literature, they really only write the good stuff about people. They don't really write the bad stuff about people. So we know that is one, from the outside, historians think that the Bible is actually true because we get really the bad parts of the story as well as the good parts. But what's amazing to me is that God continued to use them. And what's so encouraging is, guess what? God is not a one and done God. He can do the same for us. If you think you've blown it so badly that God can never use you, I cannot wait for you to do this study. Because you're gonna see that, guess what? Broken, frail humanity is all God's got to work with. That's all he's got. And so his divine, somehow, plan can weave together even the worst parts of our lives and of our stories and redeem them and use them in salvation history for the good of us, the good of the world, the good of our family. And Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So I find these stories so encouraging to me, especially the gals that blew it. And yet, it's like yet, you know, and still, you know, something came out of that. So I hope that will encourage you too. So let me ask you this question. Do you trust God? Because that's really kind of the bottom line of what we're going to see this year is, did they trust God, and do you trust God? And I don't mean just when things are going well, not just when life is comfortable, but when the storms of life rage, and all things seem to be falling apart around you. Trusting in God is the heart of really living our faith. And it's the foundation of freedom, joy, and courage. But as women, we often carry a deep concern for others. And studies have shown that women spend an average of at least 2 hours a day feeling stressed and anxious most of the time and worrying about other people. And it's a natural result of kind of how we're built, because we're, in general, we're caregivers. On the other hand, men spend much less time and usually it's focused on themselves. So it's because we're kind of wired to care, you know, and it's beautiful. But it can also leave us feeling overwhelmed or anxious, even sometimes powerless. And when life gets hard, and as you know, it does, and it will, it's easy to let fear and worry take over. So what does it mean really to trust in God? Trust is more than just hoping something works out. It is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Trust in God is a choice. It is a daily decision. And we do it to lean on him, to believe in his goodness. And this is the hard one, to surrender control to him. Scripture tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, that is difficult because our culture says the main person you're supposed to trust in and lean on is yourself. Yourself. That's what's being preached right now. That you got the power, right? It's the opposite of what Scripture says. Scripture says we are in general in our own powerless, but through Christ, through God living in us, we can do all things. So it's a beautiful thing, but we don't rely on our own strength, on our own power. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So notice the sequence. We commit, we trust, and then we act. And it's not because of fear, but because of faith, because we have this faith in someone who's greater than us that we know can be relied upon. St. Augustine of Hippo said, faith is to believe what you do not see, all right? And the reward of this faith is then to see what you believed. When we trust God, we open our eyes to see what he has already done and what he's even doing now, behind the scenes. But trusting God is not always easy. Life has a way of testing our faith. Anybody here ever been tested? Have your faith tested? All right. Well, I know this firsthand, and I'm just going to share a tiny bit of my story. Because in the last 15 years, this is just kind of the top five, my sister-in-law with Down syndrome came to live with us and passed away, just got an aggressive form of breast cancer and passed away just really suddenly. Actually, it was a melanoma that was in her breast. And then right after that, I had a terrible accident and I fractured my skull and herniated my cervical disc into my spinal cord and I was temporarily paralyzed. Some of you do remember that. Once I recovered from that, my daughter, actually who just had a baby, had broke her neck in a surfing accident and she miraculously recovered. Right after that, my sister, who had struggled with alcoholism for 40 years, came to live with us, got in recovery, and literally dropped dead in her bed just as she slept right after she got sober. Then, almost four Christmases ago now, our home was broken into, totally demolished, destroyed, and then burned to the ground by an arsonist, and it was deliberate and it was targeted. Through all of this, I could have given into fear, doubt, and despair. But instead, we chose to trust in God. Why? Because his word promises that he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Even when life is messy, chaotic, or seemingly unfair, God is at work. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isn't that awesome? Our job is to fear not and be not dismayed. Why? Because he's going to do all the rest. We surrender to him and then he acts. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Now, I love this Hebrew word, near, because it means not just near, like close by, but it means he's ready to act. He's like, he's there to help. You know, he's not standing around on his phone in the corner. He's not just nearby. He's there, like Janie Gilmore, to jump in and say, "What do you need? You know, here I am, I'll do it. You know, send me in, coach." And God is not distant. He is not indifferent. He is present, even in the darkest moments, shaping all of our lives, everything in our lives, believe it or not, for good. The enemy of our soul wants to destroy our trust in God. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his goal, but not God. This is how the enemy works. He says, if God really loved you, he wouldn't let that have happened. Or he'll say, you know, you're in this spot and this is really too hard for God to fix. Or he'll say, he'll try to isolate you and make you feel like you're different from everybody else or the situation you're in, nobody can relate to. And he'll whisper, you know, you're all alone in this situation. Good luck with that. But what do we know? God is near. He's ready to act. He causes all things to work together for good. There's nothing impossible for God. Scripture reminds us, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Jesus Christ said that. Matthew 19:26. And he even says, you know, it may seem impossible to man, but with God, all things are possible. And Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The devil wants us to focus on our circumstances, But faith focuses on God's character. God's character. St. John Chrysostom wrote, "Faith is not idle. It is the strength of the soul which sees the invisible and trusts the unseen." Faith is not idle. It is the strength of the soul which sees the invisible and trusts the unseen. Trust is choosing to see beyond the immediate struggle to the eternal reality of God's love, power, and faithfulness. But trusting God is a daily practice. It is a daily practice. It's not a one-time declaration. It is a posture of faith, a posture of how we walk through life. So how do we cultivate trust in God? Well, first of all, we have to know who He is. And we get to know Him through His Word. The more you know God, the more you can trust God. And I will say, the more you will love God. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Saint Jerome said, "Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ." If you don't know Scripture, I'm afraid that you're going to be ignorant of your spouse, the one who loves you the most, who is always there for you. All right, so how do we do this? Well, through daily prayer and Scripture reading. Start your day with it. It's called a quiet time. I like to get my Bible and all I need, like my glasses and my pen, and I like to put them all in one bag. Now, I do have to show you all my new piece of candy. Hold on. I got a new Bible. It's not the purse pocket size one, but it's awesome. And it has tons of commentary in it. And the thing I love about it is once I start, I can't stop. Get you a dynamite Bible. You know what? Go ahead, spend $100.
Where did you get that one?
Buy something that's going to change your life. I got it online. It's the Ignatius Study Bible. I promise you, you probably spend more on that on Starbucks, and what has that ever done for you, right? Get yourself a dynamite Bible that you're going to want to read, that you can't, like, that you're going to, like, put off doing laundry because you're, you know, so engrossed, all right? So get one you love. Bobby, which one do you love? Living Bible. The Living Bible. It's,
and then what I have also is another study Bible.
It's the NIV study Bible. There's also the Ryrie study Bible. I think in this next email, I'm going to put a list of all my favorite Bibles. Mm-hmm. All right? Because if you don't have one that you read that you actually like, you're probably not going to read it. So get one you like and that really, like, I mean, I can't wait to get into this baby.
You can get the one that has, like, the devotion for the day.
Yes, yes.
This is a study Bible.
This is a study Bible.
There's two versions on Amazon.
Yeah, this is the, well, I'm Catholic, so this is the Catholic Ignatius Study Bible. It's got all the commentary.
And the New Testaments, right?
Old and New Testament. This is old and new. That's why it's so big. So get yourself a big old Bible that you really love, all right? Put it in a bag or get your daily devotional, like, Word Among Us or whatever one you like. I like Magnificat, or some people like Daily Word. You know, get your devotional. Put it in a bag with your Bible, with your, some glasses, with a pen, and put it where you're going to do it every day. I call it a prayer chair. Don't take your phone. If you need to keep track of time, guess what? There's something called a watch and a clock. You can put it right there and don't get distracted and say for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, God, I'm all yours. Let's have coffee. All right? And you can start with that palms down, palms up prayer. That's how I, like, quiet the chattering monkeys in my tree.
I like to light a candle.
I like to light a candle, too. And some people like to put icons or, you know, things that kind of remind them of something, candles or, you know, something that kind of sets the mood. And I just love it. And make it a priority. Make it a priority. You know, because it will change your life, all right? So, daily prayer and Scripture reading. All right, here's another one that is kind of hard for me at this age, but I can still do it. The it's rusty, but they're still cranking. Memorize scripture. All right. Keep God's promises close to your heart. Choose a verse a week. Write it on a post-it. Print it out. Put it on your mirror. Put it in your pocket. Memorize scripture. And just think, at the end of the year, you'd have 52 verses in your hidden in your heart if you did one a week. Pretty awesome, huh? All right. God will bring things to mind that you didn't even know were still in there. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. All right. Just try it. All right. Then another way, how do we cultivate trust in God? Is we remember his past faithfulness. All right. Look back and it will remind you that God can be trusted. Recall the answer to prayer or miracles or protection in time of trials. This is why I like the second thing I put in my bag, which is my journal. And I like to write down my prayer requests. And when they're answered, I like to tick them off. Because then it really inspires me and encourages me to keep praying. And sometimes it takes a really, really, really long time. But I just love to turn way back and then tick it off. Because God's timing is not our timing. And sometimes you see why it took so long. Because there's all these other things that happen. And he answers it in a different way than what you thought, a better way than what you thought. You know why? Because God is always better than we think. So get your journal, all right? And you can write little notes to God in there. He loves it. Don't you love getting a love note? So does God. All right, then the third thing is surrender your anxieties to him. Tell him your worries. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. Prayer is not only talking to God, it's handing him your worries and then stepping into his peace. You know, if we can talk about trusting God, but unless we actually do it, we're not really trusting God, right? So hand him something and then walk in faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I want to see how you're going to work this out for me. How are you going to work this out for my family? And you can go from worry to wonder. You can wonder, how are you going to do that, God? Because I'm going to trust in you. All right, then reframe your circumstances through faith. Instead of asking, which is such a good question all the time that I think many of us do, is ask, why me? Ask God, God, how can you use this for good? God, how can you use this for good? Or a great question that Jane Heath taught me is this. What does God want to be to me in this situation that he could be to me in no other? What does God want to be to me in this situation that he could be to me in no other? So instead of why me, flip it around and say, okay, God, what's going on here? How are you going to use this one? All right. All right. Then confess your trust out loud. Speak your faith out loud. When something comes along, you say out loud, God, I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you in this situation. Say it out loud. God, I choose to trust you in this situation. All right. The next thing is we're going to surround ourselves with faithful and encouraging friends. Surround yourself with faithful, encouraging friends. How do we do that? Well, go to church. That's the first and most obvious answer to me is you can hopefully find faithful and encouraging, hopefully, people in a church, all right? Or the message would be that. But also fellowship with women of strong faith, such as today on Wednesdays. But there's other groups you could join. We're not the only way, but we're sure glad you're here. But I want to encourage you to do it, however you do it. It strengthens us. You know, iron sharpens iron, according to Proverbs 27:17. And there's the old adage that a log that's pulled out of the fire will start to die out, but it will grow and glow brightly if it's with a bunch of other logs. I hate to call you logs, ladies, but if you want to burn bright, you got to stay in fellowship, all right? These are small acts of faith that over time build more faith and more trust in God. I like to think of these as like little tissue paper layers, little tissue paper layers. Anybody ever seen, I mean, it's amazing that if you've ever done paper mache, how hard it can get, layer after layer after layer after layer, right? And then you have something to stand on, right? You only have one tissue paper layer, you're gonna be not so much to stand on, right? But you, as it builds up, you're building up your arsenal, right? Of things you can stand on. So trust is built over time, like a muscle. It grows stronger the more we exercise it. And when we trust God, something amazing starts to happen in our life. Fear loses its power over us. Anxiety transforms into prayer. I like to say, if you know how to worry, you know how to pray. Just flip it. Just flip it from worrying about it to giving it to God, to praying about it, all right? It's a great tool of the enemy to needle you with anxiety, but what Satan means for evil, God can use for good. Just flip it on its head and say, well, now I have more to pray about. All right, so despair can become hope. Despair can become hope as we build up our faith and trust in God. And trials can literally become a stepping stone towards God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice that the peace of God is not based on your circumstances. You know where Paul wrote that from?
Jail.
A Roman jail, a horrible Roman jail, in like the dungeon of a jail. He's writing this to encourage other people. Can you imagine that? So he's not telling us to do something that's impossible, you know, when circumstances are horrible. He's telling you from personal experience that this is how you get through it. This is how you get through the trials of life. The peace of God is not based on our circumstance. It is based on trust in God's character and handing over our anxiety and fear to him. And then he acts to bring us the peace. St. Teresa of Avila wrote, let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. When we trust God, we are not ignoring reality. We are anchoring ourselves in the one who never fails, our Heavenly Father. There is a version of the Bible that calls God the God Hero, our God Hero. You may say, why would God come to my rescue? Why? You don't know what I've done. I have such little faith. I don't even know if I believe this. I was dragged here by a friend. All right. Because according to Scripture, which we can trust, you are his beloved. 1 John 3:1, you are God's beloved. We are victorious in him, 1 Corinthians 15:57. We are God's very own possession. We are God's very own possession, John 17:6. And according to Philippians 4:13, he comes in and he says, I'm gonna enable you to do all things through me. You can do this. You can do all things because I'm going to give you the strength. Faith is not about what we can do in our own strength. It's about allowing God to work in and through us. When we remember that, fear and worry can lose their grip. So, trusting God is not optional. It is the heart of a life of faith. As we're going to see in this study, life will challenge us. Trials will come. Worry and fear will try to dominate. But Scripture gives us the roadmap. Commit to God, Psalm 37:5. Cast your cares on him, 1 Peter 5:7. got to give you the roadmap. Stand firm in faith, 1 Corinthians 16:13 and Ephesians 6:10. And then Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice always. All right, so we're going to commit, cast, stand firm, and rejoice. Trusting in God does change everything. It transforms our hearts, our minds, our families, our lives, our world. It is a daily intentional choice, and it brings peace, joy, and hope that this world cannot give. Remember, God is faithful. He is good. He is with you always. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we need a healthy dose of you. I just ask right now that your grace would fall heavily in this room. Your Spirit would come. Fill us from the tip of our toes to the top of our head, that you would reignite a fire inside of us, a desire to want to know you by your word, so that we can love you more, that you would strengthen our will to act. We do not want to have flabby will, flabby faith. Lord, come and help us to act, to strengthen it by your grace, by participating, actively participating in our faith walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that year after year after year, you have brought a group of faithful women together to encourage one another in this. You have always been faithful to us. You've always been good to deliver your word to us that encourages us and transforms us. Lord, may we commit to the best of our ability to be here, to encourage one another, to meet with you daily, to do our very best to walk in faith, committing our way to you, trusting in you, knowing that you are not only nearby, but you will act. Lord, make us strong women of faith. May that be our goal and our desire to know, to love, and to trust you more this year. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes.
Melissa, when you go to your prayer chair,
yes.
About how much time do you spend there? Or does it change everything?
It changes.
Okay.
10 to an hour.
And I just want to say something to this whole group, new, old, and redundant. I've been coming here for 13 years. And when I first started coming, it was because of my friend. And then something horrible happened, and this group carried me through God and helped me through tears and trauma to understand that God could carry me through. And I made so many friends, and I would say 3/4 of them have moved on in their lives, but they still have God in their lives.
Praise God.
And so I encourage you to bask in the glow that these women and these prayers can give you, because I couldn't have made it without them.
Amen. Sister, preach. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for encouraging us with that. Okay, so now we're before we break into our small group, I'm just going to give you a heads up about the book. All right. So what's cool is that we're the only group in the world, I think, right now doing it, because it's off the market. Because it was written as a workbook. Yeah, we had to beg and twist arms. It was written as a workbook for another book that is no longer available. So all we have in this book is the Building on the Basics, which, to be quite honest, is probably all anyone in this Bible study has ever done anyhow. I'm just saying. I mean, honestly, And if you even did that, you get a gold star, all right? But you're going to get every week, because thanks be to God, Diana, I'm collaborating with Diana, and I'm writing the front half of the study now. So what you had in this book, which was probably the bio of whoever it was that we were studying, and then a few questions about the scripture, I'm going to be writing that, and you're going to be receiving it via email, all right? You can read it, or you don't have to. You can just show up. The more you put into this group, you'll know, the more you get out of it. If you do your homework, I think it sticks better, but you don't have to. You can just come and listen and go to small group and listen in small group even. But if you do it, I promise you God will bless you through it. So if you want to get the email to see who it is that we're studying and get a little background information, you know, or you can just read the scriptures, they're in there too, you know, just read what the Bible has to say about the person. You can do that too, right? But if you want to get the email, that is why it is important that you sign up for Catherine's lovely email sheet, okay? All right? And then every week you're going to be getting an email, and you're going to get one tonight, and you're going to notice it's a lot longer than your normal email, because it's going to tell you all about Eve, who we are going to be studying next week, all right? And I think you're going to really like the lesson a lot, because it's on finding our fulfillment. How are we fulfilled as women? All right, so now we're going to go to small groups. If you've never been in a small group before, so easy. We're going to go, we'll introduce ourselves, and we'll just talk a little bit about today. But we have one in here, and Chris Taff, where are you? Chris Taff will be leading this group in here today. There's one in the dining room, which is lovely. Bobby Smith and myself are in the little dining room in the middle. And then the back room, you have lovely Catherine Hanley and Linda O'Connor. And I don't believe, and Ginger's not here today, but you always have some really lovely women that will be, you know, inspiring you in the group. And you're welcome to join any of them. We'd love to have you in any of our groups. All right? Sound good? Any questions? All right. Break. All right. Thanks, ladies.
Big bye to the Zoom girls.
Oh. Bye, Zoom girls. We love you. Thank you for Zooming.
I just want to see your Bible.
Oh, it's awesome, Jackie.
Which one is this?
It's the new Catholic Ignatius Study Bible. It's got all Scott Hahn, and my professor, Dr. Giesjack, wrote all the, and Mitch Curtis wrote all the commentary, and it's awesome.
This is like a major.
I know. Well, I had just the New Testament, but they just came out with the old and the new. So.
This is awesome.
It is awesome. Catherine, did we press record?
I didn't press it until after you did the intro.
Oh, that's okay.
I realized it wasn't.
Oh, good, but you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good.
But you already talked about who the major players and all that.
Oh, who cares?
And then I realized
okay.
That it was.
All right, it's all fine.
I almost asked you to say it again.
Oh, okay, well, that's okay. We can make